You're listening to the LCJ Q&A with me, Lights, Camera, Jackson. Joining me today from DreamWorks Animations, the Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show on Netflix, Kevin Dart. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
The Daytime Emmy Awards, they're this Sunday, but you're already a winner for Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How does it feel to be an Emmy winner?
It feels good. One of our background painters used to long one for the show as well.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Have you guys celebrated your Emmy wins?
I haven't really had a chance. I got some champagne in the mail, but I haven't had a chance to drink it yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we got this Sunday show, so maybe you'll pop it open after this Sunday. No pressure specifically for you, but obviously the show is still nominated for 3 competitive Emmys, including Outstanding Children's Animated Program. And I love that Tiffany Ward, the daughter of Jay Ward, is co-representing the show in this category. She must be very excited.
Oh, yeah. She's been a really big supporter of the show from the very beginning, which has been really awesome.
Tell me a little bit about the episode that you won for called The Wrath of Hughes. Tell me about that episode.
That's where Peabody and Sherman get sent to like a dystopian future run by Mrs. Hughes, who is their she's like their notary on the show, and she's like in the future taking over the world and tried to make everything really orderly, and we just wanted it to be kind of like Blade Runner-y and kind of Fifth Element kind of future. That's the basic premise.
Okay. And did it take a while as far as you, were you involved in the process of choosing that episode to submit to the Emmy organization?
No, they submitted it after I had left DreamWorks, so somebody else chose it.
Well, hey, it was a good one to choose. It got you the Emmy. Tell me a little bit more about working with Tiffany. Obviously, a legacy, being the daughter of Jay Ward, a legacy in the world of animation, and how much she has influenced the Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show.
I mean, I didn't work super directly with her a lot. That would be more like Dave Smith, who is the showrunner. But I mean, whenever I did see her, she was a pretty big cheerleader of all the stuff that we were doing and had a lot of stories to share from when they were making the original show and stuff like that. So it was always really nice to know that she liked what we were doing. And, you know, we always tried to keep in mind the legacy of the show when we were designing it and concepting everything.
And had you always been a big fan of Mr. Peabody and Sherman your whole life?
I don't know about my whole life. I don't think I encountered it till a bit later when I was starting to get really into cartoons in high school. But I really like the style of all those mid-century cartoons. That's had a pretty big influence on my work.
And with the Emmys on Sunday, you've got nominations for the show as well for Greg Miller for Outstanding Directing in an Animated Program, and Katie Herzig for the original song Morse Code. Do you know if they've got their speeches prepared yet?
I don't know. I mean, Greg, I think, was nominated last year, too, so maybe he has a speech saved from that. I don't know about Katie Herzig. I'm not sure whether she's going or not, but that song was really awesome, and I actually storyboarded the music video for that song, and we all really, really liked it, so I definitely hope we win in all those categories.
That's great. So you've got all 13 episodes of Season 4 of the Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show. They just debuted on Netflix. What are some of the highlights that fans are going to expect this season?
There's some pretty crazy stuff. There's an episode where they go to visit Edgar Allan Poe, and we really tried something completely different with the art direction on that, where it looks like really pen and ink and watercolor style. There's a really great music video in episode 13 with this band, the Family Crest. It's pretty epic, and they go into space. There's another really cool music video about Joan of Arc that's kind of like a heavy metal stained glass video. Yeah, there's some pretty cool historical guests and stuff, and I mean, it's as weird and crazy as all the other seasons, so hopefully people enjoy it.
Are the music videos that you do some of the more challenging elements of the show to create, or are they the most fun elements, or a little bit of both?
Definitely some of both, because it's like a whole different, it's like a whole separate production inside of the show when we're already kind of doing two productions per show, because they're like the main, what they call the show story part, where it's Peabody and Sherman in the penthouse, which is like its own style and has its own story, and then there's the time travel adventure for that episode. And then, yeah, when they throw the music video in, too, it's like we're trying to squeeze in a whole other production with its own look and storyboard and actions on top of that. But it's always one of the most creatively satisfying things, too, because you can really go crazy and with the visuals. And it's just cool to work with these musicians. It's just a pretty unique opportunity on an animated TV show to do something like that. And, and we get to do more stuff in house on those, like, our After Effects artist, Stefan, will usually, like, do a composite, a large part of the video in house. So they're really, like, there's a lot of hand, care really taken with those videos, and then the team at DHX also always knocks it out of the park on those, so they're pretty fun to work on.
And was there a historical figure that maybe you learned about in school when you were younger, or somebody you researched when you were younger who you got to work on and incorporate into the show and do a storyline surrounding that person?
It's not a person, but I know one that I was already really familiar with and knew a lot about was when they did the episode with the Voyager Golden Record. So I'm a pretty big space historian person, and we tried to get all the details really accurate on that one, just because it was like something that I had a pre-existing knowledge about.
And one of the great things that this show does is it allows kids to learn about these historical figures too. Certainly has to be one of the redeeming qualities of being a part of a show like this.
Yeah, I mean, the parts of the time travel guests are obviously, you know, fantasy and comedy, so there's a lot of liberties taken with historical accuracy sometimes. But we actually do quite a lot of research into it to try to get it visually correct. We always thought it would be kind of funnier somehow if you told these over-the-top comedy stories on top of a kind of a somewhat accurate representational palette. I mean, obviously the background and everything is stylized too, but we always did quite a lot of research before starting, and that would help us kind of decide what colors would be right and what would be a cool kind of way to depict the locations for all the historical guests. So it's definitely, yeah, I mean, it's not just made up or anything, you know, we put a lot of work into figuring that stuff out.
Certainly, yeah. So, Kevin, you are also the creative director for Chromosphere. It's a studio in L.A. designed for visual artists, animators, and animation lovers all over the globe to kind of come together. What are some of the coolest creations that you've seen and shared through Chromosphere?
We just last year produced a 7-minute commercial for Lyft. It was directed by John Carrs, the director of Paper Man. And it was a mix of 3D and 2D animation and backgrounds. And but that was pretty exciting to work on. I think working with John really pushed us to, like, I mean, he's, like, such a awesome character animator. He was really able to help us with, like, creating a full character performance in the main character, June, and kind of like, I mean, using some of the same kind of stuff as we did on Peabody, like just tons of research into Chicago where the film took place and trying to get all the details just right. So that was like a big project we released last year, and we also put out a film last year called Forms of Nature, which was like a little kind of visual essay about the kind of things that science and nature share in common with each other. And we're working on a bunch of new things. It was just announced last week we're doing the production design for a new Carmen Sandiego series.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I heard about Carmen Sandiego coming back to Netflix with Gina Rodriguez and all that. So you guys are doing production design. That's nice.
Yeah.
And again, another show that takes you around the globe and gets kids, in this case, to learn about geography. But I guess they're going to go into Carmen's past a little bit more. So that should be pretty fun. That should be pretty fun for you to be working on.
Yeah, it's definitely up our alley.
cool.
A lot of the kind of stuff that we love.
Nice. Very nice. Well, Kevin, keep doing the Chromosphere. You guys got to Google Chromosphere. It's a really cool website. Check it out, all that they do. And best of luck with Peabody and Sherman this weekend at the Daytime Emmys. Best of luck, Kevin.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And congrats again. Emmy winner, Kevin Dart from DreamWorks Animations, the Mr. Peabody and Sherman show. You can watch season 4 on Netflix and the Daytime Emmys this weekend. The big show Sunday, you can live stream it on both Facebook and the Daytime Emmys Twitter at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson for the LCJ Q&A.